get your Bibles, or we're going to turn to 2 Kings. Lord help me, I forgot my glasses.
I'll be good.
No, I'll be good.
It's awful. I was in a rush today and forgot them. I think I'll be fine.
Hallelujah. 2 Kings, we're going to look in chapter 13. And I said I wouldn't preach long, and I mean it, because we have an assignment today. You can hold me to it. We're going to do our best to get right to it. What did I say? It was 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. Now, I was seeking the Lord this week. I even talked to a pastor friend yesterday, and he knew sort of about our announcement today. And I said, you know, a lot of pastors would preach right in line with that announcement. And I said, I just can't do it. How many of you know I'm just not normal, you know? I don't teach specific to, I just don't always go the direction that should be the most popular or to drive a point home. And I just said, Lord, what do you want to speak? And I ended up in this chapter, and I've preached probably out of this chapter over 23 years, preaching many times. And I want to go here today because I believe this is a word that's not just for you and I, but I believe it's a word for the body of Christ, and that the body of Christ as a whole needs a touch. And I don't mean goosebumps and something that you can say, oh, it's good to be in the presence. I'm talking about a touch that changes you. If church is not changing you, find a new church. That's an open statement. I realize I'm inviting you to leave. But what my point is that I believe if we're attending somewhere and it's not changing us, we've got to find somewhere else. We've got to get in touch with where God is moving and what he's speaking. And so he brought me here to 2 Kings chapter 13. And let's read just two verses of scripture. And Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bonds of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men. And they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood upon his feet. Maybe you're not reading the same thing I'm reading. And it came to pass, verse 21, as they were burying a man, that behold, the spies of the band of men, and they cast the man in the same sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones, the bones or the remnants, the leftovers, when he touched what appeared to be the remnants of what was once living but is now dead, he revived and stood to his feet. Can you say amen? Just touching him, he revived. There's 1,000 different ways to teach this, but I just want to go for the obvious today. Because if we look as the body of Christ, what we know of the word and what we often see in the world can bring confusion if you don't know the word. What we see in the news, what we see all around us, what we see happening in our communities, what we see happening on social media, right? When we look at different facets of areas of life, we can wonder, God, where are you? And yet, if we understand the word, he's in the midst. Sometimes we'll say, God, what is it going to take? I've heard preachers and churches wonder what they're going to do. How are we going to make a difference? And I like to look at it, the more crime we can have in this neighborhood, the more craziness you can have in a neighborhood. Everyone tries to move out of those areas, but the church needs to look at it that is the opportunity for God to move if God's people will get a word from God. Can you say amen? What it requires is a people that understand and have been touched by the power and the fire of God. So if you've got someone thieving in your neighborhood, just give God a shout. If you have someone lying on you, just start giving God praise. If you have someone that creeps you out, just start giving God praise. I'm serious. The church looks at it all wrong. There are churches in our own city that moved from the East End to build a church on the safe side of town because they were afraid, because they couldn't make an impact. You know why? They lacked the power and the fire of God. Let's just say it. They lacked it. The same church that resided here in 1895 that built this building isn't here. They're not. They left. You and I need to be able to look at what's happening in our world and realize it's an opportunity for God to really show up. I said it even last week, and show off and do extraordinary things. But before we can ever impact a world or our community or our family, we've got to first be touched. Hello, we've been praying for people to get saved. You need to get a touch. If we can just get radical enough and hungry enough, I'm telling you, it will bring an impact and a change in your life and in their life and in all those around us. Are you still with me? Hallelujah. We can go through all kinds of difficult times, and there are times where we see and experience and recognize people going through depression and all sorts of other emotions, but nothing can lift you and I up from where we are like a touch from God. A lot of times in the church, we're guilty of getting close to His presence or on the fringes of it, and we get the goosebumps and a little thrill, and maybe you rattle off something in tongues or something like that, but then it's not a lasting change. But all through the Scripture, there are instances where people are touched by the power of God and it leaves a lasting change. I don't have time to be around people who don't have a lasting change. Get thee behind me, Satan. Amen. And a lot of times we're wasting our time and our energy on people who haven't had that kind of encounter. And they will drain you, and they will frustrate you, and they will irritate you. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that God loves them, and I'm thankful that God has someone assigned to meet them, but that doesn't always mean it's you. I've had to come to learn that in life. Sometimes I'll plant the seed, another will come to water, and then someone else reaps the harvest because I'm just not able to endure all the frustration that comes with them sometimes. And so I'm grateful and thankful that He has a plan. But that I know, that I know, that I know that first and foremost, you and I have to stay hungry for the power, hungry for the fire of God and what He's able to do, because there's power in His touch. I know I've preached on the power of His touch. I've preached on it. We've gone through the New Testament and the touches that Jesus gave. And sometimes He would touch them. Sometimes He would speak to them. There was one instance where he had to touch them three times. And I taught on that. And so on in many instances. And yet the same thread of authenticity all throughout the Word of God is that when you get a real touch from God, it is lasting. It will endure. And sometimes, yeah, you might decide to get in your own way and you'll stray, but you'll always come back because of that touch. Because of what He did, because of what He accomplished, because of not just how it made you feel, but what it did inside of you. And so I really believe that now is a time for you and I in the body of Christ. Now is the time for all of us, for this community. We got a word from God. Pastor Jim isn't here today, but a friend of his came and gave us gave me a prophetic word that confirmed everything that others have said for 10 years of this ministry. And so we're on the cusp of what God is doing, and you'll see the evidence of it in a few moments. And yet what is going to endure, what is going to allow it all to come to pass, what is going to enable you to overcome and endure, what is it going to enable you and I to stop having the highs and lows of life? I'm tired of seeing Christians this Sunday having victory and next Sunday in defeat. But what is going to allow you and I to be steadfast and immovable and always abounding, you know, enduring and overcoming what used to overcome you, you're going to overcome it, is a real, genuine, absolute touch from God. Not hype, not hollow worship, not hollow shouts, but a real, genuine touch from God. You can't tell me in our text that this man's life wasn't changed forever. I mean, come on, right? If you have an encounter where you are a casualty of the war, and you get and you die on the battlefield, and in the midst of seeing enemies coming at you, they just throw you in the tomb of someone else, and it's because of the power and the anointing of God on their life that rested on their life that you just happen to rub up against it that impacts you. You can't tell me that won't change you forever. Part of the reason that some of you and I are here and that we came out of where we were in life was because of the strength and the power behind the touch when God touched your life some time ago. Hallelujah. But the real problem that I see in a lot of our lives and throughout the nation, the reason I think that our nation has lost their mind isn't because they've lost their mind. It's because the church has lost their hunger. We can't sit at the church and judge the world, because what we need to be doing is saying, why am I not hungry for God anymore? If we were hungry enough for God, we'd have something to offer them in their craziness. Or what appeared to be crazy. What's really even more crazy than often who and what we see on the news and across our nation is not what they're doing. It's the fact that the church has lost their fire. That's crazy. When you once experienced the power of God and now you're just sort of like, if he shows up, I'm not hungry anymore. It's okay. Or we talk about the good old days. Come on, how many of you remember the good old days of what church really used to be like? Where the preacher didn't have to stop at 12 and he wouldn't get fired for it. You know? Where, I mean, the Holy Ghost could just roll, and because he did, they called us holy rollers. You know? We'd spend all day Sunday in church, Sunday morning, go back for Sunday night, go back for Wednesday night, have prayer meeting on Monday morning. Nobody complained. But instead of being able to talk about what God's doing now, I hear a lot of Christians talking about the good old days. Because we've given up pursuing the power of his touch. I think we've got the idea that God's done moving like that. And from what I read in the book of Acts, he's only getting started. It was only a crack in the window to begin to show you and I what he is able and what he desires to do in our life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Bible said that Elijah told Elisha back in 1 Kings 19 not to follow him. In fact, in 1 Kings 19:20, this is exactly what he said. It said, and he left the oxen and he ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And he said unto them, go back again, for what have I done to thee? Elisha wanted something more. He was hungry for something more. He wanted what he saw Elijah have. Mm-hmm. He saw something in him that drew him and that he had a desire for. And what I understand about just that one reflection of verse back in 1 Kings is that Elijah, he had to see if Elisha would stay without satisfaction. I've heard it taught all kinds of ways. But the reason that Elijah told Elisha from the beginning, go back where you came from, don't follow me, is he wanted to see if whether or not he would stay without satisfaction before he would ever give him a double portion of his mantle. You know, sometimes we'll go through seasons in life, and I believe sometimes God wants to see if you and I will stay even when we're not satisfied. Well, that's why sometimes things get difficult or challenging. Some relationships are more difficult than others, because will you endure and will you stay even when it's not satisfying? Oh, hallelujah. When the preacher isn't preaching you always happy, but giving you truth, will you stay even in that? When we go through ebbs and flows of our marriages, will we stay even still? Elijah was checking up on what was really the driving factor in this Elisha that wanted to follow him and follow him in everything that he did. We know based on the word of God that he does indeed eventually follow him. Because Elisha said to him, he said, I want a double portion of your spirit. Elijah just couldn't get rid of him. Ever had someone you just couldn't shake? You know, sometimes when kids are real little, they're tugging on your leg and you just can't shake them and you're trying to do things and they're tugging on you. That's sort of what Elisha was like with Elijah. He just couldn't shake him. He was just always around. I wonder if the body of Christ could just get that kind of hungry for God, where even if God wanted to shake you loose a little bit, he couldn't. Even if God said, I got other people to talk to, Adam, get away from me. You know, give me a minute, right? Not that he would ever do that, because his word says, you draw nigh unto me and I'll draw nigh unto you. But we need to be that kind of people that have that kind of hunger and thirst for him. Elijah looked at Elisha when he said, I want a double portion. And Elijah looked at him and said, you've asked a hard thing, but nevertheless, if you keep your eye on me when I go up, you can have it. You can have it. So when Elisha saw Elijah go up and he kept his eye on him. And the Bible says that Elisha picked it up. And from that moment, Elisha then started his ministry. And the Bible records that Elisha did double the miracles that Elijah did. Double. And Elijah was a pretty rocking guy. I mean, you know, there's examples of him that I've preached and whatnot, and we've seen it all throughout the Word of God. And yet Elisha does double the miracles. Because he was hungry after something, pursuing something more. And Elisha's the one whose tomb the man in our text gets thrown into. No wonder he got lit up and stood to his feet. This was a guy who was walking in the power of God, who had an encounter. Hallelujah. I'm one of these that believe that Elisha was such a man of God that I'm one of these that believe that his funeral was probably extraordinary, you know, marvelous, that all of his friends and those probably spoke some of the best words about him, talked about all the miracles that they had seen him accomplish, you know, the best parts of his life, right? He lived an extraordinary life. But the text says that when Elisha died, don't miss in the text that we read that it said that when Elisha died, the Moabites invaded the land. Something that I believe speaks to my heart about the body of Christ. When Elisha died, the Moabites invaded the land. And that is that when we no longer have the pillars of the church, that's when the enemy invades the church. Come on. Come on, somebody. The reason I look at church and I think, why do the people consider this church? It looks like a nightclub. Is because the pillars have left the church. And the enemy invaded. And there wasn't enough, strong enough. Oh, I'm about to preach now. Whew. And we got a few minutes. This is what's happening. When the pillars leave the church, that's when the enemy invades. And they're dying off. We're losing a generation. And instead of us raising up a generation to replace them who are strong and mighty and have wisdom, we replaced it with what's cool. And what looks right, and what will fit, and what won't offend, oh my. Because the Word of God is, and it will always be offensive to somebody. I mean, even Jesus looked and called people dogs. He did. You and I've got to understand, and we've got to be on watch. This is why we need a powerful touch from God. It's because some of us won't always be here. And one of the desires I have is that this church, if it doesn't last beyond me, it was never birthed from God. I've always said that no ministry dies with the man. None. If it does, it wasn't of God. It has to last beyond the man or woman. My hope and my goal and the vision has always been that it takes more than one. Takes more than one. Our vision has always been big. The reason we can feed thousands like we feed is because it's not based on one. It's based on many. All right. It's based on the real scripture about what the body of Christ is. The reason we can accomplish so much is because it can't be about one person. It can't be about one platform celebrity. And you have to maintain the pillars. to speak wisdom, to give guidance, and to give counsel. And people that know how to pray and when to pray, and that will pray you through when all hell is coming against you, and that won't cater to the pressures or the indulgences or the allurances of the enemy when he comes by. Hallelujah. This house, we've said it will always be a house of prayer, but this has got to be a house where the pillars always remain. I don't care if they're young, but they can be young and old, but there must always be some pillars in the house of God, because otherwise we'll just be another statistic. There's a lot of statistics. Look around, drive around. We've been approached by people who want us to take over their church building because they can't afford it anymore. Who say, will you cover our church because we can't keep a pastor? Will you do this? And the problem is at everyone I look at, you know what they're missing? It's not a pastor they need. They need a shepherd, a strong one. But what they really need are pillars. They need some other people who will help hold up the hands of the men and women of God and have boldness and be people that can be trusted. Because there's a lot of people in church I wouldn't trust. Oh, praise God. Because we've let too much of the enemy into the church. And when you start letting the enemy into the church, you can't trust those so-called leaders. When you start allowing people to lead a ministry that'll listen to the voice of the enemy over the voice and the wisdom of the elders, run. Glory to God. We need the power of His touch. This city needs the power of His touch. I've been saying for years that we're going to see one of the greatest moves of God in Fayette County that we have ever seen, that out of Fayette County it has been prophesied. It was prophesied by Pastor Jim's friend that out of Fayette County we're going to see one of the greatest moves of God, and I've heard it over and over and over again. And you know what? It's not going to be a one church move of God. It's going to be a many church move of God. It's going to be a mini church. He that hath an ear, let him hear, and God will move in those that will let him move. I just believe we get to be a part of it. I believe that. It's not about fresh fire. It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with he that will have an ear and will be willing to get a touch. We'll see this move of God. We're going to turn this thing around. Get ready. We're going to go from being the poorest county in the state. They're going to see all kind of things. This everything that can be shaken will be shaken, as the Bible says, and that which remains will be of God. Why? Because we're first going to get a touch. My God, the church needs a touch from God. All over this city, all over our region, all over our tri-state, churches need a touch from God. A real touch, a lasting touch, one that will remain, that one that will accomplish what it needs to accomplish in our life and drive out the deadness, drive out the voice of the enemy. Hallelujah. You know why the Moabites invaded whenever Elisha died? And you know why the devil always attacks you when you're in a place of transition like that? It's not about him attacking you from where you were. It's about him attacking you for where you're going. There have been times when I went through burnout in 2017. I had worked, and my spiritual father had warned me, and I got done preaching that day. I got off the platform, and I knew how I'd failed. I knew I'd left the people down. And while walking back to my office, my phone was buzzing instantly. And I looked at it, and I saw it was him. He was in Virginia watching. He said, "Son, I told you months ago that you need to slow down and you needed to realize that you were not in this by yourself and that you needed to ask for help when you needed it." He said, "You are, from this moment, on sabbatical." He said, "You are weary and you are worn, and the enemy is having a playground with you." So I took the next number of weeks off from everything. And let me tell you something, everything that could be shaken was shaken. I thought, "God, have I not lost enough? I came back to a ministry that didn't look like what I had left. I came out back without people in my life that said they'd be there forever. But I came back refreshed. And what I realized is that as I was in that place of transition and all that was going on and all that the enemy doing, I wasn't being attacked for where I was. I was being attacked for what was coming. The Moabites invaded them because of what was yet ahead that they did not see. And the reason that you and I need a touch from God like never before is because of what is on its way. Not the bad that's coming, but how God wants to use you mightily. How when the Bible says that He wants to make the last shall be first, He wants to bring you from the back to the front, that God wants to call you to the forward, where God wants you to, and I to realize that you may have been in places where people didn't appreciate you and recognize what God has called you to be and what gifts you have to offer. But God says, you may be used to that, but get ready because I'm bringing you to the forefront. You and I need to be ready for what God desires and wants to do in our life. And able to do that, we need the power of His touch. There's so much out of this text I wanted to share. But when I look at the condition of the body of Christ in general, the church needs a touch. We are never going to save it. I'd rather go off TV. Cancel us today. I don't care. I don't need to be on TV. We don't need that. It's nice. It's cute. Cancel us. I'd rather go off TV. If we don't have the power of God to touch people's life when the Word of God's coming forward and we don't have anything to offer that can bring lasting change, cancel us. Because you and I want the church, I want this body, I want everything that we do, every decision that we make to have the power of God behind it. I want when we're giving out clothes, I want it to be the power of God that influences them. When we hand out food, I mean, think, we're having more impact than the Fayette County Community Action Camp. That's it. We're feeding more people than they're able to. Look around. That's a kingdom thing. That has nothing to do with people. That's about the kingdom of God. Millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars and millions of pounds of food have went through the doors of this place because of the kingdom of God, because of who He is. You and I need to have the determination, and I need and I desire to have people that would stand up and say, we're not going to do anything unless the power is attached to it, unless I can sense the power of His touch in it. We don't need another program. We don't need to open a cafe. I don't have to have what's popular in the church just to look like everybody else. What we must have, though, is the power of His touch. That if it's a cafe or a food distribution or enormous closet or worship or whatever, that there's power in it that'll bring change. Power that'll set a drug addict free in the parking lot. Power that'll cause them to, when they walk through the yard, to fall in repentance. That kind of power. And we've seen it. We've seen it. I gave to you testimonies weeks ago of how we had people drive by the church, but because of the power of the anointing of God, they got delivered from heroin. That's the kind of power I'm talking about, but that we maintain it. We can't fizzle. This is not an hour and a time where the church can fizzle. And that, how do I know that? Why do I say that? Because when we read the news, when you look on Facebook, I can't even stomach it anymore. The only reason I'm on social media is because I have to for our contract. To be on air, that's the only reason I'm on there. Otherwise, forget it, because it gets to my spirit. But you and I have got to be able to put out things and be a people that the power is working through that can bring change to where if they read something or they tune in today or they connect with us. I want the people who rub up against you or bump into you. When that woman hit me with her cart, her wheelie cart at Walmart the other week that I was telling you about, I want to be able to walk with the power of His touch so intently that she could have got up out of that chair and been impacted and influenced and changed. That's the kind of power you and I need to be walking with. I don't want her to just to look up and say, oh, I'm sorry, Pastor. I want her to look up and stand to her feet and be totally recovered because of the power of the touch, but not because of me, but because of what's in me and what's in you. That's the kind of power that needs to be operating within you and I. The same power that brings change like it did in our text, that when he touched the bones, the remnants. I still believe, I spend a lot of my time encouraging pastors and churches who were on the verge of defeat. It's a lot of my ministry is just imparting into other pastors and leaders. And my prayer has been, God, let every church that looks like they're on the verge of closing, that calls upon your name, pour out on them. And the reason I say that is because it can look like the remnants of what was once something great. There are places in our own community that many of us remember when God moved mighty there. And he can do it again. God can move mighty, not just through this ministry, but through our region. Don't matter if there's just bones of what used to be. The power remains. And the church needs to experience the power of his touch. We need it. You need it. Some of us have been wondering what's going on. We've just been in a challenging, difficult season. We need the power of that touch in our life. I believe that. Hallelujah. Is Brandon around? Hallelujah. All right. That's all right. Will you stand to your feet? I want to close here. I told you. I maintain. I'd still be right in dead center of my preaching. And there's some revelation in this text I wanted to give you too. But I want to get to this vision, and it's still word, but I have to do this to show you where we're going. And I want everybody that's under the sound of my voice to stay, please. Say, no, nobody leave and miss out on what God's about to introduce you to, because you might find something awesome. Power of his touch. We need it. We need it. Our churches need it. Our leaders need it. I need it. You need it. This would be a moment where I'd give a Holy Ghost altar call. And I was planning on it, but one of the things I want you to understand about the power of his touch is it doesn't require me. It doesn't require me. And so, if you would you just begin to seek the Lord right where you're standing, right where you are? If you're not able to stand right where you're sitting, I want you just to begin to seek the Lord in just a few seconds, and we're going to pray. And I'm going to ask the Lord to touch you with this kind of power. That I want God to pour out his power on you, that you and I would never be the same. That where you and I would remember May 3rd, 2021, as that was the day that God begun a genuine revival in you, where things that appeared to be once dead and fragments of what used to be, and the wounds and the scars of how we've been wounded and hurt, and things that have been done to us both in the church and out of the church, that the power of God can touch. And that he would set you and I ablaze once again. That whomever we come in contact with, whatever we come in contact with, that it'll never be the same again. Hallelujah. So I want you, if you can, to begin to pray with me. Don't be afraid to be heard to be praying. If you can and you're able to pray in the Holy Ghost, if you need to just cry out loudly and wildly, you can cry out wildly and loudly. But my desire is today is that you and I would experience the power of His touch. And so, Father, I pray right now together, Lord, we just begin to pray. And, Lord, we need you. Lord, as the old hymn said, I need thee. Oh, Lord, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. God, the church needs you. God, there are people under the sound of my voice that need you. God, we are desperate for you. God, we absolutely need you. God, we need the power of your touch. God, I don't want chills and thrills. God, we don't want a cheap imitation of a move of God. But Lord, we want to have a genuine encounter with you like the man in the text did. The man when he just braised up against the dead bones. God, we want to have a genuine, real, powerful, life-changing encounter with you that, Lord, would allow us and empower us, God, to do something more than what we've been doing. God, I'm thankful that under the sound of my voice, that God, there is yet to be history makers and world changers. I thank you that God, under the sound of my voice, and every person that is in this room today, God, they're about to move into another dimension, another season, God, of where they've been and what they've accomplished. You thought God was done with you? God's just now beginning to do something extraordinary in you. Hallelujah. So, Father, I pray right now that God, just like the man was cast into the sepulcher and brushed up against the bones, God, all around us in our city, all around us in our county, God, all around us in the state of Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Ohio, and Maryland, God, there are bones. There are remnants of what used to be great. But God, I believe today, God, as we call upon you, that, Lord, you can move in power, and that, Lord, you can move in might, and that, God, that we will experience the power of your touch today. And so, Father, as we call out to heaven today, Lord, as we reach to the heavens today from where we are, God, as we desperately seek you, Father, I pray that you would release your touch today over this place. God, I pray that you would bring not just healing, but that, God, that you would bring deliverance. God, that you would do miracle-working things in our lives. God, I pray that you would heal minds and mindsets. God, I pray that you would bring restoration where there needs to be. God, I pray, but above all, that God, you'll do a lasting, lingering move of God in our lives. That God, you'll do something that does more than stir me, that does more than make me rattle off in tongues for 30 seconds, but that God, you'll allow us to walk in the anointing and the power of God like never before, that dead things will come to life. That when we speak, mountains will bow down. That God, when we pray, miracles will happen. That God, when every name on the wall of prayer is called out, that Lord, miracles will begin to happen. That angels are dispatched at the mention of their name. That God, the unsaved and the addicts will come through the doors, God, just because of the power of God that's walking and resting in our lives and in this place. Now, God, do what only you can do. Right now in this place.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Touch us, oh God. In this moment right now, just touch your people. The power of your touch. Let your fire burn deep. Let it burn wide. And that, Lord, we can experience truly and genuinely when your word says that for our God is a consuming fire. Come right now, Lord, and just burn up every distraction, every detraction. Everything that's been deteriorating, God, who you created us and designed us to be. Lord, anything in our lives that's diluting and polluting the power of your touch, get rid of it. Remove it. Anything diluting or polluting the power of your touch, get rid of it. Take it. Burn it out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now come, Lord. Come in might and come in power. And do a rich, deep, intimate work in the lives of your people. In this moment, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Mighty, mighty Jesus. We love you, Lord. 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 Amen. Can you say amen? Amen means, it means, and so it shall be, which means it's happening right now. I don't want anybody to walk out the front steps or the back door into the back and get it if it's not burning. I'm serious. Sometimes you just got to tarry. Sometimes you just got to wait. We've done that too often. The reason that the enemy has invaded the church is because the pillars of the church used to stay in labor and pray people through. We don't want to do that no more. We're too busy. But if you need prayed through, Fresh Fire Church will pray you through. All right, just because we have an agenda today to do a meeting, the power of God's still here, it'll still rest, and we'll pray you through when it's over. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Will you just give Jesus a hand clap of praise real quick? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.